of Hay Tevis, when the verdict was given of the Dan Nasach. And that week, the Rebbe spoke a number of times. The actual day of Hay Tevis was on Tuesday, and the Rebbe spoke Tuesday afternoon, Mincha time, and then again Myers on Wednesday, and Thursday, and Shabbos. So this is seemingly from different sikhs of that week. And we all know that Hay Tevis was not just an ordinary day of Nidan Natsach. In other words, a day that there was an issue that someone wanted to take away the Svarim of the Rebbe's library, and it went to court, and thank God it worked out the way the Rebbe wanted, that everything, the verdict was that everything belongs to the Rebbe, and the other person has no right to it. But from everything the Rebbe spoke before, and everything the Rebbe spoke after, we understand that this is similar to just like it was by the Alter Rebbe, with Yitzchak Kislev. Now the Rebbe was arrested, and the reason why he was arrested is because there were certain people who informed the government and accused the Alter Rebbe of activities which, this is the reason why the government should arrest him. But it's explained by all the Rabbeim that really there's a deeper reason, that in Shamayim something was going on, and that's why something was going on here. When the Alter Rebbe was freed from jail, that means that in Shamayim, whatever opposition there was lifted, and the Alter Rebbe was given the green light to go ahead and spread Chassidus as much as he wanted. Hay Tevis is obviously a similar thing. There was something going on in Baruch Nias, and once the verdict was given that Dan Natsach, so besides everything that we could see and we could hear and that we understand and we appreciate, there was definitely much more going on. And if we look at the Rebbe's Sichas, we can see from this Sicha and the Sicha that followed that Hay Tevis was the beginning of a new era. In other words, as far as the whole subject of Mashiach is concerned, we know that even though the Rebbe said he gives Mangul Aschen in Tavshin Nun Aleph, he said that, you know, the coming of Mashiach is imminent and so on, but it was a process that began earlier, and in different times the Rebbe said different things. One thing is very clear, that Hay Tevis was the beginning of another turning point, and another milestone was reached in this whole process of Mashiach. And these are not my words, but you'll see that these are the words of the Rebbe himself in the Sikh. We'll start with page 222. Naturally, this is in the middle of the Sikh. Let me just say one word, briefly, of what the Sikh is about, and we're going to start with Zion. The Sikh is based on the fact that Hanukkah was a yontif, that we lit the menorah every single day. And not only we lit the menorah every single day, but we lit each night an additional candle. And the Rebbe says that in Torah there's a principle. And the principle is malin b'kodesh. That when it comes to issues of kedusha, you don't stand in one place. You always have to grow and go forward. That's what malin means, Russian aliyah. You have to make progress all the time. And not only that you should go forward and not stand in the same place, but definitely and certainly loy meridim, you don't go down. When it comes to issues of kedusha, you always go forward, you don't go down. In fact, sometimes there's a phrase that's used, chilas nefila nisa, which means the beginning of defeat of an army is nisa, when they start retreating. The beginning of defeat is retreat. So spiritually, if we retreat, in other words, if somebody reached certain standards of Yiddishkeit, for example, even if they didn't have to get there, but once they reach those standards, then you should stand there and go forward, and definitely not go back. Because when you go back, in Kedusha, you're weakening everything. Reminds me of a letter. There's a letter where a woman writes to the Rebbe that her son became drunk. And she was very upset about it, seemingly, but what could she do? But what's even worse was he decided to let his beard grow. And that's like, you know, much much more complicated and much harder to deal with. So she writes whatever that she heard, and she verified that you could be 100% Rum Jew and not have a beard. So maybe the Rebbe could influence her son to cut off his beard. That was her request. So the Rebbe writes back and gives the analogy of a building. The Rebbe says, if you have a building that's 4 stories high, it's a perfect building, it's in perfect condition, it's not missing anything, and there's nothing wrong. But if you have a building that's 5 stories high, and then someone's going to come with a bulldozer and break down the top floor, in that case, by breaking it down, you've weakened the entire building. And not only have you weakened all 4 floors, you can even shook up the foundation itself. Why? Because once this was added to the building, and now you're breaking it, it affects the whole building. But I've concluded that once he added the beard to his building of Yiddishkeit, you can't tell him to take it down. So, Rebbe's question here is, how could it be that here we have Hanukkah, and Hanukkah itself personifies this whole principle of Milim B'Kodesh, because every night we light an extra candle, and now Hanukkah is over, and we're not doing any of the good things we did before. In fact, not even allowed to. You're not allowed to light a menorah and make a bracha today. So the Rebbe says it must be that we're going forward and not going back. And where is this hinted? So the Rebbe, this is the first part of the sikh which you don't see here, I'm just giving it over briefly. The Rebbe shows how the first part of the sikh, the Rebbe shows how this week's Parsha by Yigash is connected to the third Beit HaMikdash. The Rebbe says that the Alter Rebbe in Torah Ur, which is called the Chassidish Parsha, that's where the Alter Rebbe gives the Chassidic insights in the Parsha of the week, talks about the difference between the Mishkan, which was in the desert, and the Beit HaMikdash, which Shlomo HaMelech built, which was made out of stone, and the third Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, Rebbe says, what we're doing is, we are going forward. Up until now, we were lighting the candles, and these were candles that reminded us of the menorah of the Beit HaMikdash. And after, the reason why we're not lighting these candles is not because we're going down, because now we're going towards the Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi. That's the main theme of what is said here in the Sikh until this point. And where is it hinted? It's hinted in, again, Parshas by Yigash, number one, the fact that the Alter Rebbe brings this pasuk, we'll soon see the pasuk later, that talks about the Beit HaMikdash and the Mishkan. And number two, in the Haftorah, which is the last line of, the last part of the Parsha, it finishes with the words, right before Zion, the Rebbe brings the words, the David, Abdi Nasi Aleim Nasi Lohem Lo'ilam. That David, my servant, which means in this case, Melech HaMashiach, will be the king of the Yidden forever. Let's start with Zion now. Look, I'm not going to read every single word of the whole Sikha because there's a lot to cover, but we'll read enough that we'll be able to see that this is a historic Sikha, and Hey Tavis is a historic time that part of the whole process of the Hizgalus of Mashiach. Amura Mikala Amur Le'el. What's understood and what would be the total sum of everything spoken about before. As usual, I'm just going to read the English. Those who want to follow inside, it's Sefer Asichis, Tavshim Mem Zayin, page 222. After completing the days of Chanukah and all the Avodah of Chanukah, reading the Torah, which is the portion that we read in the Torah in the days of Chanukah, the one who goes up to the Torah makes the bracha, and those who listen to it listen to the reading of the Torah, and not only the fact that they're listening isn't less, but it actually says whoever listens to someone else making a bracha and says Amen, the one who says Amen is even in some ways greater than the one who makes the bracha. And the Gemara compares this to the Nitzachon of a Muhammad through Giburim. The Gemara says when there's a war, it comes to a point where there's fighting, and then they take the strongest people, those are the ones who go in, and they finally take over. And the Gemara compares the Amen is like the final taking over. Just briefly, what does that mean? To explain in Chassidus, when you make a bracha, you draw down godliness. But by saying Amen, you bring it down to the physical, tangible, visible level. As you know, there's a big emphasis in Chassidus that it's not sufficient just to draw down godliness. The most important thing is to draw it down and bring it down to this physical world where we can see it and hear it and feel it. As we're coming from the first day of Parshas Vayigash, all this applies, but especially when you come to the third day of Vayigash. I'm reminding you that the third day that year was Heitz, and similarly the sixth day, until we reach the Shlemus of the Parsha, which is Shabbos. So you should know that now, in this time, Matchil Zman Chodosh. These are the Rebbe's words. It is the beginning of a new era. And therefore it's also a Mokum Chodosh. It's like a new place. In reference to what? It's a new time and a new place in reference to the Beis HaMikdash HaOsi Degula HaSidra. Regarding the third Beis HaMikdash, through David Abdi Nasi Lem Lo'ilam David Malka Mashiach. What does this mean? So the Rebbe is now going to explain. It was explained earlier that the deeper meaning of Hanukkah is connected to the miracle of oil. Oil in Torah, we know Torah is compared to water, Torah is compared to wine, Torah is compared to bread, and Torah is compared to oil. They're not just different analogies, but each analogy represents a different part of Torah. Oil represents Pnimis HaTorah, Rosin de Rosin de Raisa. Oil represents the deep and esoteric part of Torah, the Chassidus. This oil has to give light al Pesach Beisim B'chutz, has to bring light to the outside. And this concept that the oil has to bring light to the outside is identical to the idea of Yafutzu B'Nasech HaChutzu, which is said about Chassidus, that you have to take the wellsprings of Chassidus, which is the oil, the esoteric part of Torah, and it has to spread out outside to the chutz, shein chutz olamata imen, to the outside world. In the earlier generations, Pnimis HaTorah was hidden, even from Talmidei Chachamim. And there were only Yechidus Gula, only a selected people in the generation that studied the hidden part of Torah. And even these few selected Talmidei Chachamim, they were only, which studied this, Bahatna Lekas, which means in privacy, not publicly. But from the time of the Arizal began a new era where mutter or mitzvah legal is esachachm. It's a permissible and it's a mitzvah to publicize Chassidus. That's in the time of the Arizal. And then it began to become revealed even more through Teres Chassidus and Teres Chassidus Chabad, that through this the concepts of Kabbalah became more internalized in Havana Vasagi in a way that we can understand it. And this is even a greater level of Yafutzu Ma'inasecha Chutzu. And this idea of Yafutzu Ma'inasecha Chutzu, that the wellsprings of Chassidus should be spread out, becomes progressively stronger and more advanced through the Rabbeim in every generation until the Friedrich Rebbe, that through him the wellspring was spread literally to every part of the world. Through his students and his shluchim, who are the Chayle Beis David, the army of Beis David, that they go out with Mechemes Beis David to fight the war of Beis David. And what is the war of Beis David all about? We had a class about this in the beginning of the year. Levatul Eila Shachefu Ikus Mashiach. That there are those that they blaspheme Mashiach, which means they blaspheme the belief in Mashiach, and not necessarily they don't believe that Mashiach is coming, but they blaspheme the belief in the imminence of Mashiach. They say he's going to come, but who knows when. And the avodah of these shluchim is, the Rebbe says, that they have to go out and be chayle Beis David, bring to the world the amuna in Malchus Beis David. In a way of Baruch Hashem Leilam Amin V'Amin. And here comes a paragraph, which is a very unusual paragraph. And therefore, after the avodah of all the Rabbeim in spreading the wellsprings chutzah, and they did it for six generations. As it says in the Pasuk, Shei Shonim Tizra Sadecha, V'Shei Shonim Tizmer Kamecha. 6 years you should plant your field, and 6 years you're working your vineyard. V'idur v'nikosh ilona d'chaya. By taking care of the ilona d'chaya, the tree of life, Teres Achsidus. This is a term that's used. This is, you'll see in the footnotes, this is connected to the famous story with the Rebbetzin Dvar Aleiah. Everyone knows the story how the Rebbetzin Dvar Aleiah, which is the mother of the Tzemach Tzedek, that I think today Ches Tevis is the yard site of the Rebbetzin of the Tzemach Tzedek, Rebbetzin Chaim Mushka, famous today, Ches Tevis. This is the mother of the Tzemach Tzedek, Rebbetzin Dvar Aleiah, and she gave up her life for chassidus. So everyone knows there's a big story how it happened and how she gathered together the greatest chassidim of that time and told them she wants them to form a Beis Din and that they should rule. And what was the ruling? That she's giving her life away so her father can continue to live. So she used these words that the Alter Rebbe said, that the tree of life, which is chassidus, has been planted and has grown, but it still needs more time of either of the nikush, which means to take care of it and to make sure that it grows properly. And the Alter Rebbe said that he wants to be able to continue to do this, and that's when she said she's giving up her life for him to do this. So the Rebbe is using this term and saying now it's already six generations that the field has been planted and the seeds have been sown and the vineyard, in other words, this tree of life is grown in such an amazing way. And the Alter Rebbe said that it's going to be growing ad ki yaveshil until Mashiach comes. In our generation, which is the seventh generation, kol hashvi'i chavivin, so this is like the year of Shemitah, the seventh is always the most precious, the Gemara says. In the days of the week, the seventh is the most precious. In the days of the, in terms of months, the seventh month is the most precious, Tishrei. In years, Shemitah is the most precious. So all that's left now is only one thing. Now that this was all done, all that's left now is to bring down the final, eternal Beis Hamikdash, Mikdash Hashem, Keni Yodecha, the Gula Mitzvah Vashleima De Mashiach to Kain. Because Mashiach's coming depends on a Fatsum Yonah Schutz. So now that Chassidus has been spread, which is like Hanukkah, that this oil lights up the outside, now we're ready for the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi to come down. Why am I saying that this is unusual? I think everyone knows how many times the Rebbe said we're in the seventh generation and this is the generation of Mashiach. But when did the Rebbe say this? The Rebbe said this much more often in the later years. In fact, it began with this sikh. I don't know how many times you'll find from Tov Shin Yud Aleph, from 1951, when the Rebbe said it the first time, that the seventh generation, the generation of Mashiach, up until Tov Shin Mem Zayin, we're talking about 36 years, I don't know how many times you'll find it all together. From here, up until Tov Shin Nun Beis, which is only 7 years less. It's 5 years. The Rebbe said it hundreds of times. But when did the Rebbe begin to talk about this again was in this sikha. The Sigmund Ha'amur, after the Avodah of Chanukah, which is a Fatmi on a Schutza, the reading of Chanukah, and all this which emphasized in the Tachan of the Muhammad. And after Bizbuz Eitzus HaMelucha, again, here the Rebbe alludes to the Maimer Basil Ganim, the Friedeke Rebbe. The Friedeke Rebbe, in the last Maimer that he wrote, Basil Ganim, explained that by king, by every king, there are certain treasures, which is a royal treasure, which is handed down from generation to generation, and these royal treasures are kept as a secret of the royal family. And they're never used, and they're not even shown. Sometimes they'll show some of these things at a banquet, at a wedding, at a very big event. And in fact, there are certain things that won't even show at those events. And the Friedrich Rebbe concludes that's in normal circumstances. But when there's a war, then even these royal treasures, there's a word for it, I'm not sure, maybe someone here knows what it is, but there's a word for it, the royal treasure that's been accumulated by the royal family for generations, this royal treasure, when the time comes that there's a war, and the king will need to perhaps raise money by selling these treasures, he's ready to do that in order to be victorious. That's how much victory is important to a king. So the Rebbe said, the Friedrich Rebbe was talking about himself, that now we're in the war, and the time has come to be victorious. So the Friedrich Rebbe revealed such things that was the royal treasures of all the Rabbeim. Things that the Rebbes, the Alter Rebbe, the Mittel Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe Marash, all the Rabbeim had known this and had this information, but it was only kept in the family. No one else was familiar with it, knew about it. And these are the stories that today we all know about the Rabbeim, about their personal lives. And the previous Rebbe was the one that revealed it. So the Rebbe said that in the time of war, the king is ready to even splurge with these royal treasures, as long as this will bring the victory. And naturally, this is related to Hei Tevis, because Hei Tevis was about the royal treasures. What was it? The Svarim, which have been passed down from the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, handwritten manuscripts. So the Rebbe says that all these treasures, which have been gathered together from all the generations and have been hidden, and nevertheless, because of the war, it's been opened, been given out to every single person in the army in order to be able to bring Mashiach. So now we come to the Parsha of Vayigash, which, as the Rebbe said before, has these two things that allude to Mashiach. Number one, Kairiz Batenu Arazim Rehitenu Berusim. That's the pasuk in Shir HaShirim that talks about the third Beis Hamikdash, and the Alter Rebbe said that it's related to Parsha Vayigash. And the second thing is the Haftarah that concludes with the words David Abdi Nasi Ilam Leila. V'lachin, and therefore, here the Rebbe concludes, practically, what am I asking you to do? Yesh LaHachriz LaFarsim. We should go out and publicize and announce to the world Shabiyameinu Eila, that now, this is something we've never said now, never said this before, we find ourselves in a special time, in a special place, that is only one thing left to do. And that is saying it and using the Friedrich Rebbe's phrase, Imdu Hachein Kulchem. You should all stand ready. The binyan beis hamikdash ha'asid, the bias David malka mashiach. Be ready for the third beis hamikdash. In case anyone had any doubts that what the Rebbe is saying here is not something new and unusual and unprecedented, so there's another part of the sicha, which this sicha, by the way, we're reading now, this was edited by the Rebbe, Muga. And there are certain parts which the Rebbe spoke, which the Rebbe didn't have that incorporated into the edited edition. But nevertheless, the Rebbe said it by the Fabrangan, so it's printed in the Sefer HaSichas. I'm going to read that part, it's the last page of this, these few pages there. It says on top 209. Let's go, that's, the Rebbe said it in right here by this part. After the Rebbe said these words, that now it's time to stand ready for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, then the Rebbe said this. I'm going to read this in Hebrew, so it'll be clear. L'chayre yachalava mishu v'lifei. Someone could come along and argue and say, Diburim Elu Hein Dilderei, such words, it's very wild, it's radical to speak this way. Asher b'chol hazmanim v'adeiris, in all the generations preceding ours, such words were never said. And why are we suddenly speaking such words, and how will the world react to such words? So I think that makes it quite clear, if it's not understood from the Sikh itself, the Rebbe himself is testifying that what I'm saying to you now is radical, it's wild, it's never been said before. What is the Rebbe saying? Saying these words, that we're ready for the third Beis HaMikdash to come down. And the Rebbe's not saying it just as an interesting idea, he's letting us know that spiritually this is where it is. So first of all, how come we're saying it now as it's never said before? And second of all, aren't we afraid, shouldn't we be afraid of what people are going to say? So the answer is, first of all, there's nothing to be nispalled, don't be affected by what the world will say. Being that this is the truth, and this is based on Torah, you don't have to be worried, you can announce it openly, because this is Emes, and don't be concerned about what people are going to say. That's number one. The Yisayim is that there's an additional point. Hamatzav kayomu, the situation today is such, shegam ha'olam mucham lekabel, the world is ready to receive it. So you can rak lovay v'loyma boifen golu. Just go out there and say it openly. And if you're going to say it, people will be ready to hear it. In other words, the Rebbe also says, go out and say it openly. I guess it means that you walk over to somebody and says, I want to tell you something, but please don't be offended. I want to excuse myself. I want to apologize in case it sounds strange. Truth is, I have a reason why I'm saying it, but please, you know, and you give a million excuses of what you're going to say, then the person, before you even said it, knows already that he's not supposed to hear you. But if you walk over and you say it openly, with confidence, the Rebbe said, we're at a point now, we're ready to bring the third Beis HaMikdash down. then you'll see that people are ready to hear it. That's one thing. But there's another thing. Kasher nishmas taina ba'olam. When you hear this argument in the world, which argument? Sabdu sabdanaya, v'chantu chantaya. Didn't they eulogize Yaakov? Didn't they embalm Yaakov? And then there's a third part. Didn't they bury Yaakov? In other words, isn't it true that Yaakov is no longer here, that he's gone? As I tzrich and leima beferish as a metzius and mitzvus of the Torah. Again, you should tell them clearly what the emes is according to the Torah. They malachshish. Don't be worried what the reaction is going to be. What does the Torah say? Yaakov lo mes. Yaakov didn't die. Don't be worried about it. They came and not only because it's emes, and if it's emes, don't worry about what the word will say. But ha'ayla muchon the kabbalah said, "What? The world is ready to hear this." So this is in relation to heitates. As we know, the argument against the svarim, what was the issue? The issue in court was that the other side claimed, and the Rebbe actually discussed this by Fabrengen, that the Friedrich Rebbe was nostalgic over 30 years ago. Now that he's gone, there's no, therefore, this person who is a relative has the right and is the person should inherit the svarim. What's the question? And the Rebbe's argument was, the Friedrich Rebbe is not gone, he's here. Yaakov lo mes. Mazara b'chaim, avu b'chaim. Yaakov is alive. And I remember the Rebbe once by Fabrengen said that I can't communicate with him. We don't speak the same language. We don't speak in the same wavelength. He says that the Friedrich Rebbe is gone some 30 years ago. And every year that goes by, he's further away from us. And I say the Rebbe is alive as he always was. And every year that goes by, he's more alive than the year before. These are the Rebbe's words. Now, these were the arguments, and this was the meat of it, what was brought into court. This was brought into the court case. Some of you remember that during the court case, everybody who had only the time and was able to went down to the courtroom to listen to the court case. And it was a very unusual court scene, because normally in court you're arguing about legal issues. Over here, I remember somebody was walking out of one of the sessions, and she said, I overheard her saying, "Wow, I never understood the concept of Rebbe so clearly like I did today." In other words, they were sitting there explaining, what is a Rebbe? What is a Chassid? What does it mean the Rebbe is alive? All these things, and they had to explain it in simple English that this non-Jewish judge should also be able to understand it and accept it. So, the fact that the judge ruled that the Sfarim are not up to inheritance, and the Sfarim continue to belong to the Rebbe, to Lubavitch, meaning the Rebbe says, basically what he said was, the Rebbe is alive. So now, you don't have to be afraid to say, people are ready to hear it. So it's interesting, these are really two points which is pretty much the issue today, that the world and people out there will be turned off if you say Mashiach is coming imminently, and people will be turned off if you say that the Rebbe is alive. And both points in Tavshin Mem Zayin, which is 1987, the Rebbe already said this Shabbos that the world is ready to hear it. Just go out and say it, and they'll hear it. Let's go back to the Sicha of the Mela. So we're on top of page 224, the second column, the first paragraph of the Mela. I'll call Echad veEchad miYisrael. Therefore, it lies upon every single Jew. Mutelas hashlichus. They have this shlichus lahavi or the galas is Beis Hamikdash Ha'asid. To bring down the third Beis Hamikdash. The Rebbe is telling us, all of us, we have to bring down the third Beis Hamikdash. It's already built, Vashamayim. All we have to do is make sure that it becomes revealed down here. This was Shabbos Pashas Vayigash Tavshim Mem Zayin. A few months later, not so much longer, Purim. It was also a historic Purim. And that Purim was the Purim where the Rebbe spoke at length. Why is he talking now about Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach? How come he didn't speak about this before? Why is there such a storm now to go out and tell the non-Jewish world that they have to keep their Sheva Mitzvah? And the Rebbe said, the answer is because we're holding by the times of Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, this has to go out to the whole world. That was in Purim time. And then, after that, there was a very sharp sikha closer to Pesach. How come not enough announcements and publicity is going outside telling the world that Mashiach's coming is imminent? So really, this started off a whole new storm in reference to the union of Mashiach. And here the Rebbe keeps saying that the time has come for the third base Mikdash to become this gala, and all we have to do, every one of us has to bring it down. In fact, almost a year later, which was Beis Kislev Tavshin Memches, that's when the Sfarim actually returned to 770, because there was an appeal in court, and it went back to court, but the Sfarim actually arrived here, Beis Kislev, and then a few months later was the Histalkus of the Rebbe Tzimcha Beis Shvat, which although definitely it's a concealment, but the Rebbe himself said clearly in the Sicha, we learned about it many times, that the Rebbe said that that day, Chavei Shvat, that year, was the beginning of a new era in the unfolding of Mashiach, just like Yud Shvat and Yud Aleph Shvat. And that was the time, a month later, when the Rebbe for the first time said that now we've reached the point that we have to have the Galus of Mashiach, and this comes by saying Yechi HaMelech. That was then. And a few months later, the Rebbe put down the stone for the cornerstone of 770 to rebuild 770, which we know the Rebbe explained what is it all about. There's a whole pamphlet that was given out of Kuntres that the rebuilding of 770 is bringing down the third base of Mikdash in Golus first, in Beis Rabbeinu Sheva Bavel, and from here to bring it to Yerushalayim. So all this is well known, but I just like to put it all into perspective how it's all related and all began to happen this time. Hey, tape. Let's go now to page 228. Yesh Lahoisev, the Rebbe said, I can add that this Aveda of doing everything you can should express itself specifically in things that are connected to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, if we want to bring the Beis HaMikdash down, we have to do something which is connected to the Beis HaMikdash. What is that? First of all, Akamas Mikdash Ma'at, setting up a miniature Beis HaMikdash in my own personal home, that my home becomes a house of Torah, house of Tefillah, house of Gemilas Chasodim. No, I have to back off. This is talking about Batei Chabad, that more Batei Chabad should be established all over the world. Because every Beis Chabad, being that you study Torah there, being that you daven there, being that you do Gemilas Chasodim there, it's a miniature Beis HaMikdash. As we know, the Beis HaMikdash was a place for Torah, for Tefillah, and for Gemilas Chasodim. For Torah, that's where the Sanhedrin was. The Sanhedrin was situated in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the source of Torah. Tefillah, it's a pasuk. Ki beis tefillah, ki beisi, he beis tefillah l'chol ha'amim. The Beis HaMikdash is the house of tefillah. And also, Gemilas Chasadim, this is what the Beis HaMikdash is all about. And every personal shul, and every, in fact, that everyone spoke about it, that every shul and every Beis Chabad should actually have money set aside for loans, so it should be Gemilas Chasadim in the literal sense. But Gemilas Chasadim in the broader definition means all acts of kindness of helping people. This also includes another thing. Shigam Beizir HaPrati Kolechad Bechad in Yisrael. It's also turn every person's personal home, and in the house itself, your personal room, and all the objects in the room, your table, your chair, your menorah, your bed. This is also not just at random. There's a famous maimer from the Friedrich Rebbe, based on a pasuk in Tanakh. It's a story about a woman that she would always be, her home would be a place for Elisha. Elisha the Navi would stop off. When he traveled, he would stay in her house. She had a special room for him. And it says in that room, she gave him his personal furniture, she gave him a table, and she gave him a chair, she gave him a bed and a menorah. And the Friedrich Rebbe and the Maimer explains what it says in the Zohar, what these four pieces of furniture represent. So our personal bed, table, chair, menorah is transformed into Beis HaMikdash. And the room is the room where you study Torah, where you do Gemilas Chasadim, where you daven. And this, the Rebbe says, is shaykh to adults and to children. In fact, by children it's even more than by adults, because whatever they do with so much chayas, with such simplicity and with such fire. And by doing that, they can inspire the adults. The Heshev Levavis Albanim Ayudei Banim. And then the Rebbe adds another thing, which the Rebbe says is an additional suggestion. Every Beis Chabad, because it's a central place, is also a place where from time to time you make chassidus shefabrengim. You invite people and you have a gathering, you have actually a meal, a fabrengim, say lechayim. So everyone should make an effort that their personal home from time to time should also become a place where you have such a gathering and a kind of chassidus shefabrengim. So I guess that will be in place of the karbonis maybe. Food, a table, that's the karbonis. So basically, the conclusion of the sikha is that every person should do everything they possibly can to bring down Geula, in the sense of bringing down the Beis HaMikdash. How do we bring down the Beis HaMikdash? By making my personal home into a personal Beis HaMikdash. And this brings down the general Beis HaMikdash. And the Rebbe testified that day, when the Rebbe started rebuilding 770, that was actually the beginning of the Shechina coming down in Beis Rabbeinu Sheva Bavel, and from here it goes to Yerushalayim. So this was when it began with his Hei Tevis, with the Sikha, and with the incident with the Svarim. I just use the opportunity maybe to remind everyone, when Hei Tevis occurred, 770 turned into a one big, it looked like a chasana, but just lasted for 6-7 days. It was such excitement. People were singing and dancing, literally night after night. There was constant brings and rejoicing and celebration. And then it was abruptly stopped because you come to a day which is called Asara B'Tavis. You have to fast. So that day was like a stopping point. But then something else happened on that day. Asara B'Tavis, the Rebbe gave a sikha. And he said, today is 10 days in Tevis, and it's 30 days before 10 days of Shvat. So these 30 days should be spent in preparation for Asara B'Shvat. Yud Shvat, that's the day that the Friedrich Rebbe was Nistalik, and it's also the day that the Rebbe became Rebbe. So the Rebbe said, how should you prepare? By adding in learning, adding in davening, and adding in tzedak and gemilas chasadim. But the Rebbe then made a very unusual request. The Rebbe said he wants, being that a year earlier, the Rebbe spoke about Asei L'Charav, that everyone should appoint a teacher for themselves, and appoint a mashpia for themselves. The Rebbe says he wants that every person should write in a written report to their mashpia, what do they eat in davening, what do they eat in learning, and what do they eat in tzedakah. And in the 30 days, this written report should be handed in 3 times. First 10 days, the second 10 days, and the third 10 days. And then the Rebbe said that every mashpia should give in a written report to the Rebbe, what everybody wrote him. So, and the Rebbe said that whoever is not part of it, it'll be quite obvious that they're not participating. If I don't get the report, that means you're not part of it. That was clear. So, from 6-7 days of celebrating, it became 30 days of intense learning and davening and studying in an amazing way. But I guess it's also time to remind everyone of that hirav, the Rebbe, Asei L'Charav, that everybody should take upon themselves a mashpia. And the Rebbe spoke about this many times, that this doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you don't have enough intelligence to make your own decisions. It means that when an issue comes which is related to you personally, you can't see things clearly. And therefore, it's not easy. In fact, in Hebrew, asei sometimes can come from the term of forcing it upon yourself. Maisin ala dhaka means to force someone to give dhaka. Asei l'charav means sometimes it's hard to take a mashpia. Because if I don't have a mashpia, I make my own decisions. If I have a mashpia, I'm already bound to listen to what someone else says. In fact, there were certain people that then, at that time, claimed that they're such big chassidim of the Rebbe that they feel if they'll take a mashpia, will interfere with the direct connection to the Rebbe. So they don't want a mashpia. They're going to go to the Rebbe directly. And therefore, when it comes to an issue, should I do it or not do it, they'll make the decisions themselves based on what they understand from the Rebbe. But the problem is, you could misunderstand, you could misinterpret. And that's why we need a mashpia. In fact, the Rebbe then said that if a person has a mashpia, many times you don't even have to call up your mashpia to ask him. Why? As soon as you stop to think, I wonder what my mashpia is going to say, you already know the answer. That was, as soon as you stop looking at it through someone else's eyes, that's objective, it becomes clear to you that what you want to do is wrong, you're being emotional, you're not really focusing, and things like that. So therefore, the Rebbe encourages very much. And just like here, the Rebbe said that by making your own personal home into a Beis HaMikdash, this was doing something that brought the big Beis HaMikdash down to the world. Then too, in the Sikhas, the Rebbe alluded to, and I think he said it also explicitly, that by every person appointing a mashpia and taking upon himself that authority, so to speak, they're preparing for the authority of Mashiach. But the Rebbe said that a lot of damage would have been prevented if people, before they made certain moves, would have just consulted their mashpia. They would have realized that they're making the wrong moves. And therefore, even someone, the Rebbe said, who himself is a mashpia, and this person gives advice to thousands of people, but when they themselves have an issue about themselves personally, they have to turn to mashpia. Because the purpose of mashpia is not a lack of intelligence, it's a lack of being objective, because it's my personal issue. And therefore, if this is what happened then, I'm sure it was also related to Heitavis, and it certainly should be mentioned now, that it's a time to reinforce this union of having a mashpia and appointing a mashpia and being connected to mashpia. Just interesting, someone just right before I came to the class, now the Rebbe said the world is ready. Someone told me that a friend of theirs has children who live in a city in Israel called Ephrat. It's not a Lubavitch city. They got a letter. I'm not sure if I have the whole text here or not, but the basic, the gist of it is they're asking to publicize this letter to all the rabbeim and all the leaders and spread the message everywhere that it's a time that Klal Yisrael has to unite and to do everything to bring the Geula. In other words, what I'm trying to say is there's really nothing amazing about it. What else did you do? But I'm just trying to say that which before was identified that you must be Lubavitch if you want Mashiach to come, you don't have to be Lubavitch to want Mashiach to come. And it's becoming a norm, and I think, unfortunately, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, which will surely very soon turn around and become miraculous, but I think it's just bringing everyone to the realization that it's a time now we have to do everything we possibly can to ask for Mashiach and ask to bring Mashiach, and we don't have to be embarrassed to tell them that the Rebbe said that Mashiach's coming is imminent, and everything that's happening, the positive things and even the crazy things that are happening, in fact, that they're so insane that it makes it so clear that something higher is going on, and that higher thing is certainly Mashiach, and all the nonsense and the insanity will disappear, and we'll see this Galus of Mashiach miyad.